Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
What's up? What's up, Austin? How you doing? What's happening? What's happening? Paramount Theater, this is pretty good. We have a adopted Texan. Everything's bigger in Texas, including this former Republican Congressman, Adam Kinzinger.
Hi, everybody.
What's up? What's up? All right, we're gonna do a little around talk. Then we got a game for you. All right, we're gonna have some fun. Cause is it Friday? Is it Friday yet? No, it's a Thursday.
I thought it was Friday.
It's my Friday tonight. We'll see how I do on David Frum's podcast tomorrow.
What are you doing? Are you leaning forward or sitting back?
I'm kind of sitting like back. I think you should man spread. I got kind of like the gay leg cross. All right, we're gonna start with a little Iran talk. How do you think the war's going so far?
Oh man. I mean, look, ultimately, we will know how the war in Iran goes, you know, when it's over. Is there some version of victory or the straits reopen? It is going terribly now, though. And one of the things that I think is amazing, Tim, is, you know, they're going to Congress to ask for $200 billion for this. $200 billion.
That's insane.
It is insane. And you can think of all the things we can fund at home for $200 billion. I mean, we used to shut down the government over a $400 million dispute because, you know, these guys that are still in charge pretended like they were part of, you know, a fiscal conservative play.
But have you seen the debt chart lately? It's like, yeah, like it's an erect dick. It's like, pop.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad thing is, though, for less than $200 billion, which is what they're asking for this war of choice, less than that is what we spent over 4 years helping Ukraine to defeat one of our chief strategic enemies. I mean, if you look and say, who's a bigger threat, Russia or Iran? It's Russia. And we were able to help fund...
way less. I think it was like 66, wasn't it? It was like 66 billion.
And by the way, all that money is basically just a price tag put on old stuff that we have in our stocks that we give to Ukraine, and then we have to put a price tag on the replacement of it, which we were going to destroy this stuff anyway because it was expired. And yet they didn't have the money to continue to support, against all odds, Ukraine, but then they're going to come and ask for $200 billion. And Trump today, I think it was Vance or some, no, it was Hegseth. He said, you guys, to the press, instead of asking these questions, you should be saying thank you to Donald Trump for protecting us. I mean, he said that today.
What's with these guys and needing thank yous? It's very strange.
It is.
You haven't said thank you once.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need to say thank you for?
It's because of this deep desire to please Donald Trump, and everybody tries to outdo themselves, and somehow thank you became the new way to do that. And shoes. Thank you and shoes.
Your shoes look like they fit.
Yeah.
We had just a friendly disagreement among pals on text over this guy Joe Kent. Not the greatest, we should just say. We should acknowledge Mr. Kent has a pretty sketchy background. If you really need a good laugh sometimes, I wrote an article a couple years ago about this video where he was like apologizing to some Hitler youth being like, please support me in the campaign, young Hitler youth. And so, you know, he's got some bad views. And yet, he's like the first person in this administration to say, no, you're breaking your promises. This is not what you said you were going to do. He put out a statement. The statement had a couple conspiracy theories about what was happening in the past, but it was pretty accurate, I think, about what's happening now, which is you said you weren't going to do a war with Iran. They weren't an imminent threat. It seems like Israel had a very big influence on you getting into this war, and I can't be a part of it. I'm quitting. And so the question is, do we have to hand it to the Joe Kents and Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world? Should we welcome them into our fold, or should we hiss at them?
So, now here's the interesting thing.
He's on the hiss side, I think.
Here's the interesting thing. Like, I am chief of, hey, we need to welcome people that see the light and leave MAGA. That's the only way to win. It's the right thing to do. But let me say, where there is a line, and I'm very clear about this.
Hitler Youth is the line.
Hitler Youth. Like, there is a line between if somebody is a unapologetic insurrectionist, right? And so for me, that's Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've never once seen her express an ounce of remorse about what happened on January 6th. But the other, Joe Kent, who is a clear and has not disavowed it, white nationalist. And so my view on this is, can we be glad that he left? Sure. Do we have to hand it to him? Absolutely not, because his reason for leaving, though we may agree on the outcome, which is like the Iran war shouldn't be happening, his reason is Jewish conspiracy, whereas our reason is like we just probably shouldn't have attacked Iran right now because it was kind of dumb to do.
Is it? Okay. This is maybe a little heavy, but is it? I mean, he avows some other Jewish conspiracies. This is why this thing gets complicated. But, like, it's not really a Jewish conspiracy to say that Israel kind of strong-armed us into this war. I mean, they did, and, like, that's just what happened. I'm stealing this line from my friend John Lovett, you know, who he said that nothing is true is anti-Semitic, you know, and nothing that is anti-Semitic is true. And in this case, if it's a true statement that Israel bullied, strong-armed, cajoled Trump into this war, then, like, saying it is something that people should be able to say.
Yeah, there's something unique when somebody says, like, Jewish lobby, though. I think there's something in that. But again, it's not even a disagreement with what's in the statement.
Yeah.
My point is, we can agree with somebody's outcome or be glad that they left, but we have to be very careful to welcome them into the coalition,
sure,
right? And that,
when they go
run
to Tucker immediately, that's
yeah,
the red
I mean,
flag.
He goes and runs to Tucker immediately. So yes, Joe Kent, I'm glad he left because he was actually a really bad dude in an important position too.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it for the same reason, for instance, I would have if I was in that position.
It's kind of a tough one. You know, there's a saying that people like us use when there's two sides fighting, you don't know who to pick. It's like, it's kind of like picking in the Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic in this situation. It's kind of like Joe Kent and Tucker versus Trump and Hegseth. It's kind of like my Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you making me choose?
It's like,
why are you making me choose?
Do you want to go vacation in Tehran or Baghdad? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear you on that. I think that at some level, I think that there's a good, without welcoming whatever that means, there's something that I think that we could do that could be useful, which is to say to people that earnestly believed, even if they were mistaken and we tried to tell them that they were wrong, that Donald Trump was going to be the peace candidate and that he was going against the deep state, the warmongering deep state, and we shouldn't be getting in stupid wars. We shouldn't be sending Americans over to die.
Epstein.
Like, if people believed that, yeah, and they signed up for him, and now they feel like they've been betrayed, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's correct, actually, for James Tallarico and anyone else in the Democratic Party to say, you're welcome with me, because I'm not going to get us into stupid wars.
Yeah, I guess I agree. I agree with, like, you know, we'll take your vote at this moment. I just think we have to be very careful, you know. I don't care who votes for me as long as it counts as one.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, we have to be very...
Yeah, so I gotta tell you, some pretty bad people voted for you during your time.
Yeah.
Some people had some pretty nutty views.
Yep.
Cast a ballot for Adam Kinzinger.
And every one of them are walking back whenever. So my friend Rich Loges, who runs an organization called Leaving MAGA, leavingmaga.org, he says, it's like, this sounds funny, but it's true and it's important. It's like a support group for people that leave MAGA because you get excommunicated from a community and a family. And so you need that support. So he runs this. Well, his part of the whole thing to be part of Leaving MAGA is you have to admit, in essence, your role in the destruction of what MAGA has done. Because he says, if somebody's not willing to do that, then they have not come to grips with what this movement is. And I would kind of apply that to if somebody's an ally or not.
All right, last thing before we get to our game. You served honorably, and you've got veteran friends, I'm sure. What is the vibe like? And if you look at Pete, it's hard for me to put myself in this view as somebody that hasn't served. It's like Pete Hegseth is a former Weekend TV co-host, Okay, and he is like such a clown, and these press conferences are so embarrassing. And to think that that person is the point person for, you know, my friend, your friends who are still serving and making decisions for them. To me, it would be horrifying. But I don't know. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this. So first off, too. And there's nothing against this specific guy, General Dan Kane. He could be a fantastic general. But this is a guy that was promoted to Joint Chiefs that was not in line and basically had not had the kind of like coaching that happens to the person that's going to be the next Joint Chief Chairman. This guy was like, I'm an Air National Guardsman. He was an Air National Guard general, probably really smart, but you put him.
He got the job because of his nickname.
Yeah, he totally did, because his nickname is Raisin Kane, and Trump liked that. But he's probably fantastic, but you take him, you take Hegseth and Trump, and that's who's leading this war. So I will tell you, Tim, for the first time, because I'd get asked this question before Iran kicked off, and I'd be like, you know, I'm not hearing from my friends like this fear because it's Pete Hegseth. I am hearing that now. And honest to God, I am talking to people that are like, nobody that's hardcore MAGA because they'll never admit it, but like my friends that probably voted for Trump, they're furious, the ones that are still in. I have one friend who was a C-17 pilot, and they're like, they're abusing them in terms of just like they get 60 hours of notice all of a sudden to deploy to the Middle East. And you think about what that means. There are not enough crews now in these aircraft, so they're driving them harder, waiving their crew duty days. They're flying every day. One base, I heard this anecdotally, has basically had to start rationing food because they got hit by an Iranian missile. They can't gather in the chow hall anymore because Iranian missiles are targeting that. They're miserable, and they feel like we went to war without being properly prepared, and it kind of feels like that for me, too.
They're right. All right, guys, you ready for this? We brought Adam here for something that I want to call the cuck-off. Now, I had a message from a fan from Australia, and they're like, Tim, you keep using this word cuck, and I don't know what it means, and that's fair. And so I just want to give you guys a little backstory. Around 2015... when people like me and Adam were supporting Jeb, in our case, that's where we became pals, but or Marco or any of the other candidates, John Kasich, the MAGA folks called us cuckservatives. Their thing was, you guys don't have the balls. Like, you probably aren't even screwing your own wives. You know, you're cucks. That was their insult.
You know, it actually came from because they would say, like, you sit in a chair while somebody's effing your country.
Wife. Yeah, effing your country, yeah. So that was their joke. As you can tell, nobody's laughing. It's not that funny. We've co-opted it, though. We've co-opted it. We've owned it. We've owned the term. Kind of like how the gays, we can say the F word. You can't say it, but I can say it if I want to. It's kind of like that. We have co-opted cuck-servative. And, you know, it is kind of funny, actually, when you think about it in retrospect. I mean, is there a bigger cuck right now than the Donald Trump supporters in Congress? I mean, John Cornyn, literally... That guy is strapped into the cuck chair. He's got an ad. He's like, Big John Cornyn. It's like, Big John Cornyn does whatever Daddy Trump wants now. So it is kind of like a projection thing. Anyway, so for the cuck-off, I thought, you know, before we started playing to, you know, the liberal fans, I was like, what we should do is bring back our roots, you know, the servative part, all right, our never-Trump roots. And we're each going to give you two rants that speak to our roots, and then you get to vote over who is the chief cuck in the cuck-off. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to go first. All right,
and
here we go.
And to be fair, he's probably been planning this for a long time, and this is new to
me. You can grade Adam on a curve if you want. He already knows he's getting cucked by me. Okay, are you ready? Here's mine. Number one, neoconservatives are getting a bad rap right now. Okay, stick with me. Stick with me. We're getting a bad rap, okay?
Yeah.
All right. We made some bad choices. Now, I didn't make that many bad choices. When sometimes liberals come up to me and they're like, you were for the Iraq war. Why should I listen to you? And I was like, I was hitting the bong with my buddy Blake sitting over there during the Iraq war, okay? I was not for the... I did not have any role in the Iraq war, okay? But, okay, my people did, you know, culturally, spiritually. And, you know, they made a lot of mistakes. But... there was an earnest feeling among the original neoconservatives, which was, we want to bring democracy and freedom to the world. Execution was bad. Intentions were good, though. You know, it was like, these guys deserve better than the fucking Ayatollah and Saddam. They're terrible. Why can't we have George Al Washington take over Syria? It was a good idea. Maybe not that good of an idea, but the intentions were good, all right? And now, after they started this stupid fucking war in Iran, people are using neoconservative as a slur again. And I'm like, these people aren't fucking neoconservatives. They are corrupt, jingoistic war hawks. They don't care about the freedom of the Iranian people. They're not fighting for the freedom of the Iranian people. They're not interested in that in any way. They don't care. They want money. They want to sell their bullshit cryptocurrency to the UAE. They want to build a Trump Tower in Tehran. They don't care what Ayatollah takes over next. And so this is not a neoconservative thing. It's a classic, stupid war hawk thing. And they're bad, and they are wrong, and they're fucking it up, and it's also hurting my feelings a little bit. So there's my first rant.
Yeah.
Neoconservatism. Well-intentioned, but bad.
Can I get 3 cheers for neoconservatism? All right. All right, I'm going to have to go after Democratic politicians for my first rant, okay?
All right.
Don't worry, I'm going to go after Republicans, the second rant. Okay. The one thing that we have learned from Donald Trump, beyond corruption, beyond the fact that he's completely fake, beyond the fact that people think he's genuine, but that's hilarious because he's absolutely fake, okay, is that people hate talking points, okay? People can sniff out talking points. I think it is time for my Democratic politician friends to take the talking points you have memorized, light them on fire, and never think about them again. Why do I say this? I get it. It's good to have words like affordability and say affordability. But once you start down the path of saying it exactly how you've said it 800 times, people think you're a typical politician. I would much rather people talk about it in a non-articulate way, but in a way that it's the first time I've heard them saying it, because then I actually know they believe it and they're not looking at polling groups and testing their message. No offense to focus groups, you know, they're important.
Focus groups.
But I will tell you, one of the things that was eye-opening to me as I got involved in the January 6th committee and with the Democrats.
Okay, now you're playing to the audience. All right.
Tim wasn't on the January 6th committee. He wasn't on it. No, but it was amazing to me when I started to see how that works, how much they rely on talking points and people coming in and briefing on how this polls. So my rant for this first half is to say, throw out the talking points, speak from your heart, and speak to people. That's it.
Okay. That is round one of the cuck-off. Round one. Okay. Don't just grade on round one. Think about the whole presentation.
He was for neocons. Okay. I'm for throwing out talking
All right,
points.
Round
so,
two
you know.
Of the cuck-off. Are you ready? All right. This one's been cooking in the oven for 14 years now. Justice for Mitt Romney. Justice for Willard Mitt Romney. Sorry. If you remember, for all the olds out there, there are a couple college kids I saw on the line earlier. I appreciate you all for coming out. You're not going to remember this, okay? But back in 2012, when I was a young buck working for Mitt Romney, there was a little controversy about something called Binders Full of Women. Do you remember Binders Full of Women? And all of the Democrats were out there saying, Mitt Romney is a sexist. He had binders full of women. He doesn't treat us like people. The Republicans are sexist and misogynist. We can't vote for Mitt Romney. And it's like, wait a minute. The binder was full of resumes of qualified women that he wanted to hire. That was Mitt Romney's crime. He was trying to hire women to work in his government, and he thought that there were too many men, and he wanted to bring some gender balance. He was woke before woke was in. He was trying hard, and you all attacked him for it and called him a sexist. And then you know what you got the next time? A guy grabbing women by the pussy. So you're fucking welcome, all right? If you would have just appreciated earnest milk-drinking Mitt Romney, who wanted to hire women for his cabinet, then maybe we wouldn't be here right now. Round two of the cuck-off. Justice for Mitt Romney.
All right, my side of this is completely unfair because he's defending unpopular things, and I'm just going to go after
That's
people.
That's cool.
Okay?
We invited you. You should play to the crowd.
All right. Second, it's time to go after the Republicans. And I'm thinking of two in specific that I'm sorry I'm not going to name, but you can figure them out maybe. But it's an archetype of person, okay? And this is the concerned Republican, okay? These are the people that know that what's going on is wrong. They know that, for instance, we should be supporting Ukraine. They know that the war in Iran shouldn't have been launched. They know everything about that. And instead of voting that way, they tweet their concerns and then vote how Donald Trump wants. Did you know just two Republicans in the House of Representatives uniting can shut down the floor of the House of Representatives forever until Mike Johnson does what they want? So every time somebody says they're concerned or they don't like or they wish, they have an opportunity to go do something and they simply choose not to because they are not the alpha males that they say they are.
Brian Fitzpatrick.
They are in fact cucks. Thank you very much.
All right. Here we go. Audience decides. If you think that I won the cuck off, scream for me.
Yeah.
If you think Adam won the cuck off, scream for him. That is such bullshit. Thank you all very much.